Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we'll continue with our study to the stories of Abraham as Muhammad continue to fabricate, adding more and more information about Abraham. And what is so amazing is that if we read everything is written about Abraham in the Quran, we still do not know who Abraham was. As we have done in the past, we'll continue to look at, and today we will investigate two passages. First, what is written in Quran chapter 6, beginning from verse 74. Notice here that Abraham's father's name is not Terah, as we read in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 26, but it was called Adar. Perhaps Muhammad confused Abraham's father, Terah, with that of his faithful servant, Eliezer. See Genesis chapter 15, verse 2. In this passage, we discover that Muhammad described Abraham as an idol worshiper. In Quran chapter 6, verse 74, we read, "And when Abraham said to his father Adar," that is a wrong name, supposed to be Terah, "do you take Asnam," that is a non-Arabic word, which means idols from Aramaic origin, "for gods? Surely I see you and your people are in obvious error." And likewise, Allah stated, "We did show Abraham the kingdom of the heavens and the earth, and that he might be one of the certain of what? Of the creation of the heavens and the earth." In verse 76, we read, "So when the night covered him," that is Abraham, "he saw a planet. He said, 'This is my Lord.' So when it set, he said, 'I do not love the setting one.'" What do we learn from that? Abraham, in verse 76, had worshipped some planet up in the sky. And then in verse 77, we read, "So when he saw the moon rising, he said, 'This is my Lord.' So when it set, he said, 'If my Lord does not guide me, I will surely be of the erring people.'" So in verse 77, we know that Abraham worshipped the moon. Let's move on to verse 78. "So when he saw the sun rising, he said, 'This is my Lord. This is bigger.' So when it set, he said, 'O my people, surely I am innocent of what you partnered.'" Here we go. Once again, in verse 78, we learn for sure that Abraham worshipped the sun. And when you read a story like that in the Quran, you can't help but to laugh. For we have to ask a question. How old was that Abraham? Was he like 4 years old? 5 years old? He never sees the sun set at the evening time, or the moon disappeared at the morning time? I mean, it is written so ridiculously for anyone to believe it. Why? Because it makes Abraham like someone never seen a sun before or a moon before or such planets which he worshipped. And somehow, Abraham changed for a man who worshipped such creations. Now he is searching for the true God, as we read in verse 79, "Surely I turn my face to him who has created the heavens and the earth, Hanifan, and I am not of the polytheist." In verse 80, "And his people dispute with him. He said, 'Do you dispute with me about Allah? And indeed he guided me, and I do not fear what you partner with him, unless my Lord wills anything. My Lord embraces all things in knowledge. Do you not remember?'" What a strange conversation between Abraham and his people. Don't forget, just a few hours earlier, he was worshiping all these created things, but now he is a good believer in Allah. In verse 81, "And how should I fear what you partner, and you do not fear what you partner with Allah. What he did not send down on you with authority. So which of the two groups are more worthy of security? If you were knowing, those who believed and do not mix their faith with injustice, those have security and they are guided. In verse 83 we read, and this is our argument we gave to Abraham against his people. We raise up in degrees whom we will. Surely your Lord is wise, knowing. This is the story of Abraham as Muhammad fabricated it in Quran chapter 6. Here we saw Abraham converted from worshiping creation to worship Allah, as Muhammad claimed. As we'll see a little bit later in our studies, that Abraham was a Muslim prophet. Now let us look at another portion of the Quran to learn about a different fabrication by Muhammad about Abraham. And that is in Quran chapter 21, beginning from verse 51. Before I will read to you that portion of the Quran, I would like to read to you the bold statements which we have inserted in our translation. And that statement goes as follows. The story of Abraham is given here once again. Muhammad invented the story of the fire, which occurs as a result of misunderstanding of the word Ur. You see, the word Ur means city, but it was translated by mistake by the Jewish interpreter Jonathan, son of Azriel. He translated the word Ur as light into the Chaldean language. So it is written in his translation, I am the Lord who got you out from the light of the fire of the Chaldeans, instead of saying the city of the Chaldeans. Notice that Muhammad confused the story of Abraham here with the story of Gideon's, which we can find in the book of Judges, chapter 6, verses 22 to 32. As always, Muhammad confused many biblical stories as he mixed them into one passage in the Quran. Here is what Allah stated in these verses. In Quran chapter 21, verse 51, we read, and indeed we, and we here is Allah, gave Abraham his guidance before, and we were knowing him well. Wow, I'm astonished. Allah knows Abraham very well. That is very important piece of information in the story of Abraham. In verse 52, we continue, when he said to his father, who is he here? That is Abraham. Speaking to who? Speaking to his father and to his people. What are those statues which you are devoted to? They, these are the people of his father. And his father obviously said, we found our fathers serving them. He said, that is Abraham, indeed you and your fathers were in obvious error. They said, that is Abraham's father and his people, have you come to us with the truth, or are you of the sporters? He said, that is Abraham, yet your Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth, who created them, and I am of the witnesses to this. And here I must say, I don't understand. How can Allah in the Quran say that Abraham was a witness of the creation of the heavens and the earth? Does Muhammad really have any understanding for the word witness? I mean, I know that Islam is built on a false witness. That is, there is no way for anyone today to become a Muslim unless he or she would say, we bear witness that there is no God except Allah, and we bear witness that Muhammad is a messenger of Allah. And that witness is a false witness. Why? Because even according to Sharia, you must see by your eyes, hear by your ears, smell by your nose, touch by your hand, taste by your tongue to be a true witness. How can anyone become a Muslim by being a false witness? You can say, I believe, but you cannot say, I bear witness. But somehow here, Allah in the Quran is telling us that Abraham was a witness of the creation of the heaven and the earth.
The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is excited to announce our creation of two new convenient materials to help you in your ministry to the Muslim community. Our first booklet is titled, The Straight Way to Eternal Life. How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman, maybe in an airport or on a bus or in your neighborhood, and you felt burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but you didn't know what to say or even where to begin? We have produced a small, convenient tract that will empower you to reach those lost in the deception of Islam. This 24-page mini booklet will share three facts. First, it seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted, using just the verses from the Quran. Secondly, it reveals convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the Word of God due to an overwhelming number of errors and contradictions. Finally, it clearly presents the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Our second new booklet addresses the violent nature of the core teachings of Islam. Muslims continually claim that Islam is a loving and peaceful religion. They also insist that violence is committed by only a few radicals who misunderstand Muhammad's teachings in the Quran. But is this true? This new booklet, titled The Violent Truth About Islam, examines dozens of passages from the Quran, the Hadith, and Muslim scholars. This powerful booklet will leave no doubt that Islam's long history of intolerance and bloodshed arise from the very words of Allah and the example of Muhammad's life. Please visit thestraightway.org for ordering information. And now, back to our show.
Continuing in the Quran, in verse 57, "And I swear by Allah," that is Abraham, "I will surely lay a plot against your idols after you turn your backs." It means after you finish worshiping your gods and go away, my plot is I will do something against all these idols which you are worshiping. Continue in verse 58. "So he," that is Abraham, "made them pieces, except the biggest of them." What did Abraham do? He literally broke all these idols to pieces, but he only left the biggest idol. Why is that? Listen to what Allah said in the same verse, that is verse 58. "Perhaps they may return to it." And I have no idea why Allah loved to use the word perhaps. The obvious response should be, so when they come back? Not perhaps if they come back. He knows they're coming back. These are their gods, which they worship, according to the story of the Quran. Continuing in verse 59, "They said," who are they? These are the people of Abraham, of course, including his own father. "Who has done this to our gods? Surely he is of the unjust." "They said, we heard a youth speak of them. He is called Abraham." Exactly as we just have read in verse 57. That is when Allah said, "And I swear by Allah, I will surely lay a blot against your idols after you turn your back." So obviously the case is closed. There's no other suggestion that maybe it was somebody else, because they heard him and now they see the idols broken to pieces. But listen to the imaginary fabricated story by Muhammad or those who helped him to write his Quran. "They said, so bring him before the people's eyes. Perhaps they may witness." Once again, the people could not witness against Abraham because no one had seen him. How can you witness against somebody which you have not seen? All what we read in the Quran is they heard a young man. His name is Abraham. He made a statement that he will carry a blot against these idols. Now they're going to bring Abraham before the people so they can witness against him. They can't. Why? If no one saw him, that means there is no witnesses against Abraham, if he is the one who did it or not. But amazingly, as we continue on the story, they said, "Have you done this to our gods, O Abraham?" What a great question. Did you do that, Abraham? Oh, listen to the answer in verse 63. He said, "Yet their biggest, this did it." That is when Abraham pointed with his hand to the biggest idol, the one he did not crush, and he said, he is the one who did that. And we continue in verse 63. "So ask them if they were speaking." Whoa. Ask the idols which has been crushed if they can speak. They will tell you that big idol there is the one who did that to us. In verse 64, "So they returned to themselves." These are the people of Abraham. "So they said, surely you are the unjust." Surely he is the unjust? How is that? Because he could not come up with any evidence that he did it, so now he is guilty? In verse 65, then they hung down their heads. That is some kind of sorrow, shame, embarrassment. Indeed, you know that those cannot talk. Ooh, it's a confession from the people of Abraham that all these idols which they have been worshiping all the years of their life and they found their fathers and their ancestors worshiping cannot speak. What a great piece of wisdom. In verse 66, he said, that is Abraham, do you serve without Allah that which does not profit you anything nor harm you? Off to you. And what you serve without Allah, do you not understand? What a great preacher. What a great prophet. Now we know for sure, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that Abraham was a prophet because he was able to convince all his people that these gods which they worship are not true God. In verse 68, we read, they said, burn him and help your gods if you were doing. What in the world are they going to do? They're going to burn Abraham. Why? To revenge for the gods which he crushed by his hand. And listen to verse 69. It says, we said, we here is Allah. Allah is intervening in the judgment of the people on his prophet Abraham. O fire, be cold and peace on Abraham. I love it how Muslim scholars went in depths to talk about if Allah just have said, O fire, be cold. You know what would happen? It's very simple. Abraham will die. Not because the fire is hot, but because the fire becomes so cold, he will freeze to death. But in Allah's wisdom, he said, be cold and peace on Abraham. That's why Abraham was not harmed by the coldness of the fire. In verse 70, and they sought, these are the people of Abraham, to lay a plot against him, against Abraham. But we made them the losers. Wow, what a great fabricated story. When we investigate the Bible, do we read anything about Abraham breaking any idols? No. Do we read anything about Abraham thrown into the fire? No. Now, when we add that which Muhammad taught in the hadith, that is his saying, you can't help but to laugh. Because Muhammad said that all the people in Abraham's days made a covenant with their God that they will gather the wood to burn Abraham in the fire, to the point that some women, according to the great Muslim scholar Ibn Kathir, were hoping to have a baby boy for a long time. They could not. And they made an oath or a promise to Allah, if you get me pregnant and have a baby boy, for sure I'll be carrying wood for the fire of Abraham. And behold, they got pregnant. And behold, they have baby boys. And that's why they carry wood to that huge fire of Abraham. Which means they were actually collecting wood for more than 9 months. Because somebody had to get pregnant and the baby had to be born to know for sure that it's a baby boy. That's how long they were actually collecting wood for the fire of Abraham. What is funnier is that Muhammad assured the Muslims that all the birds and the animals were doing everything they can to save Abraham from that fire. So the birds and the other creatures were carrying water in their beak and in their mouths to spray over the fire of Abraham to stop Abraham from being burned, except the lizard. It is the only creature who used to blow air on the fire to make it hotter, so it's like supply oxygen to the fire. That's why Muhammad and the early Muslim companions worked so hard to kill the last lizard in the Saudi Arabia Peninsula, because they revenge against those evil creatures which were hoping to make the fire hotter and hotter for the death of Abraham. This is what is written in Quran chapter 21, beginning from verse 51 to verse 70, and what is stated in the hadith. Maybe someone would say, wait a minute, how do you know that the stories you're reading in the Quran are not true and the story in the Bible is true? First of all, we have something we call logic and common sense. The story of the Quran is a comedy. And here are some corrections. Who was the one who broke the idols? It was not Abraham, but it was another man by the name Gideon. As it is written in the book of Judges, chapter 6, verses 22 to verse 32. Who was thrown to the fire? It was not Abraham. It was actually the three young men who were taken to captivity from Israel to the land of Iraq by the name Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as it is written in the book of Daniel, chapter 3. What was the name of Abraham when he was in his youth? His name was not Abraham, but his name was Abram. You see, there's so much about Abraham Muslims do not know. And because the Muslim believers never read the Bible, because they always been taught the Bible has been corrupted, the Bible has been changed, and they always believe that the Quran is the perfect word of Allah, they never looked outside the Quran to learn about the biblical prophets. Finally, according to the Quran, as maybe we'll see that later, Abraham's father was not of the believers. That's why Allah told Abraham, don't pray for him. He is among those who will spend eternity in hell. When in fact, when we go to the book of Genesis, chapter 11, beginning from verse 31, we learn about Terah, the father of Abraham, and Abram and Lot were all traveling together from the land of the Chaldeans, that is Iraq, to go to the land of Canaan. It just happened that while they are on their way, Terah, the father of Abraham, died at the age of 205 years. And he was buried in Haran. You see, nothing Muhammad mentioned in the Quran is true. And many of the things which he mentions in the Quran are simply falsehood. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.